Our word of exhortation this morning will be brought to us by Brother Pat Dew. His title is Walking in the Light While Keeping the Wolves at Bay. And y'all, if you would turn with me to the first epistle, the book of John. We're going to read the first chapter, the verses 1 to 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that hath eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, our Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the word is not in us. Let us give our attention to Brother Pat.
Good morning, everyone. Pleasure to be here. Glad to see all of you here. Our theme for this Bible school is Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As our scripture reading in 1 John told us, God is light. That is, Yahweh is light. And if we walk in light, we will be cleansed from all sin. Then we have fellowship with one another. And also Jesus Christ. Now think about that. Fellowship with Jesus Christ. And it's by His blood that we have fellowship with Him. Inside the Bible is clear light and a valuable guidance. It guides us on all that matters. Nothing else really matters. It's just what we find from the Scripture. The light of the Word that has been given us. So, true views and true understanding will keep a man on the right path. The Scriptures enable us to recognize false doctrine and false views. Those who reject the source of enlightenment are helpless and are doomed to remain in darkness forever. So a first principle is that the Scriptures are entirely given by the inspired Word of Yahweh. And it's given to us for instruction in righteousness. The Lord's instructions are numerous. But the thing about it is that they are plain and simple. Do right or do wrong. That's a simple way to put it. Now these are also, there are also some negative instructions found in Scripture. Now the entirety of the books of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, emphasize the duty of the ecclesia. First off, 2nd John tells us of his love of the ecclesia. He says, the lady, which is... Just go ahead and turn to those scriptures. I'm going to be referring to them quite often. That's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Also, in 2 John, he tells us that he rejoices in the ecclesia that are walking in the light. So to walk in the light means to do right, to do what the Lord has commanded us. The truth encourages us to love one another. If not, then we are what? We're walking in darkness. Let's look at back over here at 1 John in verse 7 of the very first book. 1 John verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So there in verse 7 it said that the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sins. And then it kind of explains what we must do. We must confess our sins. It's not that you're just completely clean, because we sin every day. So we have to confess so that we are cleansed. As defined as walking in God's commandments. That's what confessing our sins is. Then we are found walking in God's commandments. There are also some warnings. Warnings of many deceivers who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This person is then an antichrist. Or one who believes that Jesus Christ was not born of Adamic condemnation, of Adamic flesh, which we all are, and is another Jesus. He is then thinking that this is another Jesus, not the one that we believe. So we know the whole world around us believes entirety almost in a triune God. That is three gods in one. So let's look at 2 John. verse 7 there says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." There it states it. This is a deceiver and antichrist. This was given as a warning that we, that is ourselves, lose not those things which we have wrought or learned, so that we receive the full reward. And what would be the full reward? It would be eternal life. That's what our hope is. We can take any warning given in the scriptures that are in effect a commandment of Yahweh. So anything that we're warned of, we understand that to be a commandment. So the ecclesia must take stock of spiritual and doctrinal values. The seriousness of John's counsel are seen in verse 9. I want to read that. That's 2 John. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." That's important to remember. Now back over to 1 John. Turn back over there. Chapter 3, verse 23. "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the scripture which He hath given us." So, if we abide in what the commandments are, we abide in Him. I also want to read on a little bit here, if you bear with me, in chapter 4. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of Yahweh, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, it is in the world." And it has been. Way back then, when he wrote that, it was already in the world. Look at it now. Verse 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." But, look at this. "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, or Yahweh. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth Him. Very interesting set of scriptures there. If we take that word spirit and change it to doctrine and reread it, it will have a better meaning for us. So if you think about it, when you get time, read that chapter 4 and put in the word doctrine in place of spirit. Now let's move back over to 2 John. There are a couple of verses here where there's a word used that's found nowhere else in the Bible. Only two times in Scripture is this word found. In both instances, there are negative instructions, or a warning in our course of action. So let's just read these two verses. Verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So in 2 John, the admonition is not to bid certain ones Godspeed. And in verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. The two scriptures are talking about the deceivers that were in verse 7. So let's look at verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. So, that's plain. Wouldn't you agree? That's the way the scriptures are. If you just look into them a little, they're plain. So, if anyone with a false concept of Christ is received into your house or ecclesia, and you fellowship him and continue. Notice, continue. I have that underlined. Continue in fellowship, then you are a partaker of his evil deeds. Once, if you do something like that, it could be a mistake, or you could have been deceived. But to continue is not a mistake. An example of this is if someone in our midst believes the kingdom already exists, then he would be unacceptable for fellowship. The same would be for a bigamist, a thief, or a liar, or one who believes you are in Christ and in Adam at the same time. We must all be vigilant to see that all of our standards and doctrines are maintained. For there are many false doctrines we cannot agree with. So we must keep the wolves at bay. We must remember when we are in the house of Yahweh, that is our meeting places, our ecclesias, we are to humble ourselves. Really humble yourself and show honor to Yahweh. For this is where we sing hymns, we teach, we learn. We learn of His statutes, of His laws, and of His commandments. But who are we to look to? We're to look to ourselves, that we lose not the truth. It is our, each one of us, responsibility to do the right thing. But if someone is amiss or does wrong, the whole ecclesia becomes responsible for this. And the whole ecclesia should rebuke this person, rebuke his actions, and tell him. I know you're supposed to go one-on-one individual to someone, and then you go to another brother. But ultimately, it falls to the ecclesia. And what is an ecclesia? It's a group of people called out for the glad tidings of the gospel. To be a peculiar people. Holy. That is separate. Separate from the world. From the other so-called religions. The truth must always come first. But how can an ecclesia be holy if it goes apostate? It is designed to help and strengthen each one to become better in their spiritual lives, to become better in their walk in the light of knowledge. The ecclesia is founded upon a covenant made by each person in that ecclesia. Remember, all the Lord has said, we will do. So, if you say it, you better do it. If a member makes a mistake or goes amiss, then walks back into the ecclesia, how should this be handled? What is the first thing? The mistake must be corrected. The mistake must be corrected. Then a time period of waiting. And what's that for? To see if the person has actually corrected the mistake. Then comes acceptance back into the ecclesia. I want to repeat that one more time. The mistake must be corrected. Romans 16, 7 through 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, for they serve their own belly by good works and fair speeches to deceive the hearts of the simple. We are simple. Simple people. Also in 1 Corinthians 5, here we are instructed to put away certain ones who walk contrary to Christ's commandments. Let's see if I can find it here. 1 Corinthians 5, I want to start at verse 7 and read. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Well, we know that it's also for himself first and then us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now that is part of walking in the light. Getting rid of the leaven and walking in sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or extortionist with such and one know not eat. So we're not even supposed to keep company with certain ones. For what have I to do to judge them? Them also that are without, do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. They're already judged. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So, that's some interesting reading. The ecclesia has a duty to maintain its integrity and not to cater to the special interests of those who want to be socially acceptable. But we can admonish them that for certain things should be avoided, and that's what we need to do. Then we can show a brother or sister the right path to walk in, the right way, and making peace and teaching correct doctrine. These things are important. If a person goes amiss, we need to help them. So we are to always do good to all, but we can note one who does not obey the truth and encourage him to do better. For he is not an enemy. That is someone that is a brother or sister that has gone amiss for a while. They may come back if you treat them right. Think about that. We're to love one another. And we just watch them and see if they stay amiss or if they're really willing to come back. It may be just a mistake a person has made. Paul said we ought to support the weak. On the other hand, we must stand fast on our conviction and keep the wolves at bay. Paul knew in his time that the ecclesia, after he and the apostles were gone, they would err and increase into apostasy. Let's look at Acts and read about this. Acts chapter 20. I'm going to read a few verses here. 28, if I got my reading right. Let's see, yeah. That's Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the ecclesia of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That is Christ's blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn you, not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to Yahweh and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So, we don't have visitations from the Lord now. He visits us when we read his word. That's how he visits us now, when we read his word. So, think about getting that inheritance that is promised. A promise of eternal life if we just do what we're supposed to do. If we hold on. Paul said in verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we're supposed to give of our love, of our knowledge to others, of our understanding. But to give of the things that we hope for. But false doctrine can soon corrupt and lead to total perversion of the truth. Just as a little leaven mixed with the truth will corrupt the whole truth. So we must keep the wolves at bay and also keep out the leaven. In Romans 6:16 we read, do you not know that when you offer yourselves as an obedient slave, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether to sin, unto death, or to obedience, leading to righteousness and life everlasting. So who are you a slave to? Are you a slave to fun and social media? Each person has to answer that himself. But thanks be to Yahweh, we have been made free from sin by the blood of Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Think about that. Eternal life. If you think about that every day, then it'll start coming together and you'll start walking in the light. So what are we to do? Let's look in Galatians chapter 1. No, I'm sorry. Can't read my own writing. Galatians 5. Chapter 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And get this. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Don't be entangled. Verse 7 says, "Ye did run well. Who doth hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" This persecution cometh not of him that calleth you, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. There we have that again. Also, look at verse 13, please. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use liberty not for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Verse 15. "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Walk in the light. In the light of God. In the light of His Son. In the light of these Scriptures. "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." How many times over the years have I said that about that we can't do what we want to do? We must do what God tells us to do. But ultimately, what do people do? They do exactly what they want to do, regardless of who they hurt or who they offend. And even ourselves, we do things that we should not do, and we hurt who? Ourselves. That's who we hurt. Verse 17 said, "Don't do what you want." Verse 25 said, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We can see how the simplicity and purity of the truth which the apostles taught was changed, and it was lost by the wolves creeping in. So-called learned men and philosophers have philosophized the truth into apostasy, into error and into lies. The doctrine of the immortality of the soul, the belief in a disembodied existence somewhere after death, has now become universal in this world. Now, a writer named Gibbon made a remark, "The doctrine of the immortality of the soul is omitted in the law of Moses. In fact, in all scripture, that is omitted." And Paul, when he went in front of King Agrippa in Acts 26, let's look at that. Acts 26, I want to read verse 15. Acts 26, 15. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Read a couple more verses here. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the apostles and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." So this is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And in that light is what we are to walk in. In Matthew 5, turn there if you would. Start at verse 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but the salt hath lost his savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men." So if we lose our truth, we're worth nothing. Nothing at all. Verse 14 tells us, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle in no wise pass from the law to all be fulfilled. All the scripture will be fulfilled completely. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, where's that kingdom of heaven? It ain't in heaven. It's here. The kingdom of heaven. It'll be here on this earth. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven, or that is the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, we must keep our truth, the truth, pure and simple by walking in the light. Some of our community have now gone far beyond recall. For some have heaped to themselves teachers who have turned our simple truth into a fable or into something not as the apostles taught. In fact, some have amended the truth into fables or something to suit themselves. A writer by the name, I think I got this right, Mosheim, M-O-S-H-E-I-M, wrote this, that devout and venerable simplicity of the first ages of the church, of course we know it's ecclesia, which taught men to believe when God speaks and obey when he commands. This appeared to most of the doctors of this age to be unphysiological, and becoming only vulgar. Just as was foretold, evil men and seducers have completely obscured the truth with deep mysteries they could neither understand or teach. Most of them reasoned as blind men do about colors. So, brothers and sisters, let us hold to the truth. Walk in the light of truth and keep the wolves at bay. Thank you.